listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from our God who loves us and who challenges us. Amen. Two brothers fighting it out here. Can you hear them whining? Tell my brother to give me that. But these aren't little boys fighting and whining. These are grown men. And they're not fighting over a toy. They're fighting over the family inheritance. And now they're trying to draw Jesus into it. I don't know if some of you remember a couple weeks ago we had the same dynamic between two sisters. Jesus, tell her. We talked about triangulation. Here it is again. Tell my brother to give me that. There are many things that are instructive for us about this gospel text and these readings for today. What occurs to me is that the one who's getting treated unfairly, that brother who's got that complaint, the one who actually has a case, I think, the one who's not getting any of the family inheritance. I mean, wouldn't you be a little upset about that too? He's the one that prompts Jesus' parable. The corrective story is actually for that brother and for all of us. The corrective story is for the one who's getting the raw end of the deal. And Jesus corrects him. I think you and I could figure out some ways that we are that brother, the one getting cheated. Think about it for a moment. How many ways are you getting the short end of the stick in this life? How have you been sucker punched in this economic boxing ring? I don't know about you, but my prayer to God can sometimes sound a lot like this brother who's getting stiffed. God, tell the government to give me my fair share of my paycheck. God, tell the housing market to give me my fair share of the equity. Jesus, tell the credit card companies and the banks to give me my fair share of the interest, which would be way more than I'm getting right now. Teacher, tell that shopkeeper, that grocer, that barber to stop jacking up their prices and give me what I want for a fair price. We can be as whiny in our prayer life as this brother who simply wants his fair share. Our prayers can sound like whining. And we go to the source for that. That doesn't usually happen. We go to the source for that. I mean, we can write some pretty articulate and eloquent prayers, but can their content be just as whiny as that brother? Give me my fair share. But Jesus doesn't get roped into arbitration. He seizes upon the bigger picture. When this man, and if we're honest, when you and me are caught up in this act, this lifestyle of what I would call pining and whining for what we don't have, for what's owed to us, for how we got wronged and how others deserve a scolding and more, then we are getting caught in what Ecclesiastes called the unhappy business. Anita read it. The unhappy business of vanity. Then we are no longer on guard, as Jesus would warn. We are no longer on guard against all kinds of evil. Your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. We know that, but Jesus reminds us again today. Your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Beware of storing up treasures for yourself. And here's the good news. God, through Christ, has freed us in the life hereafter and even in this life today. God, through Christ, has freed us from this unhappy business of pining and whining, because we have been promised something much greater than possessions in this world. We have been promised something much greater in our baptisms, richness toward God, faith. Faith is a gift that's given to us in baptism. It's nothing you have to buy. It's nothing you have to earn. It's just freely given to you. Faith. And to me. And this is the antibody against the virus of greed. Faith. This will protect us from pining and whining, sisters and brothers in Christ. This word of God, word of life today, is like finding a most wonderful letter in the attic, or up on that top shelf in the garage, or in the closet way in the back. This letter that we have today is like finding a most precious treasure. We didn't really think about it or notice it much, but we hear it again today. Faith will protect us from a life of pining and whining, and we are freed in Christ. Colossians said, you've been buried and raised with Christ, so you don't have to keep living in a state of fear and scarcity and sadness and bitterness and clenching on so tightly to what you have, even if you have very little. Because you have been buried first and then raised with Christ. This long lost letter says, because you have been given this great treasure that is faith, then you are renewed this day. Free to live in the image of the God who created you. How do we cultivate a field of gratitude when there are fields and fields of pining and whining all around us? How, sisters and brothers in Christ, can we be even better farmers of thanksgiving? I say even better because there is so much generosity in this congregation. There is so much generosity in this place, and I have learned so much about giving from so many of you. We had our young adult camping trip this weekend. This is a first, at least for me in this time. You know there are young adults in this congregation? There are a handful of young adults. We had a great time on Friday night. We went camping, about nine of us, all together. And I have to tell you that we spent some time around the campfire talking and laughing about this congregation. Specifically about the people here. And it was all good. It was all good. It was a celebration to me of how generous you people are at Shepherd in the Valley. Through the eyes of those of us in our 20s and in our 30s, we're watching. And we celebrated the generosity of this place. Not in those words necessarily, but it was a celebration of how wonderful the people are here. So it's not that we're not already farmers of thanksgiving and generosity, cultivating fields and lives of generosity, and seeing the abundance even when times are lean. But this text is calling us back and challenging us even further in our generosity, in our joyful releasing of what God has first given us. How can we even better share our gifts, our treasures, our inheritances, our possessions, rather than locking so much up in our barns, like that man with lots of money in the parable? Notice I say man with lots of money and not rich man, because you can be rich in different ways. But that man with lots of money in the parable had those barns that just kept stacking up and stacking up. What are ways that we can remain generous and gracious and thankful, even when at the same time, generosity and fairness doesn't seem to be extended to us in the same way by the world? Jesus frees us to let go of that bitterness, of that scorekeeping, and of our possessions. They were never ours in the first place. And if you died tomorrow, which this text reminds us could happen to any one of us, if you died tomorrow, would you have shared your things in this life in a way that reflects the God who loves and creates you and me? Jesus frees us from greed, from fear. Jesus' gift of faith given freely in baptism is the antidote to our anger and our bitterness. That brother was bitter. Pastor Todd Bolsinger, he's a local Presbyterian pastor here in Southern California. He offers a few suggestions on his blog for cultivating generosity. How do we even more cultivate generosity? He says, hang out with generous people. It will rub off on you. So you're in the right place. I suppose that implies the opposite is true then too. Keep a distance, an emotional distance at least, from those who are not farmers of Thanksgiving. I've noticed, personally, that bitter people can rub off on me also. Hang out with generous people. He also suggests practicing generosity, which I read as fake it till you make it. They've done studies on faking it till you make it in terms of self-confidence and how you carry yourself, even if you don't feel confident, stand up straight, and, you know, and people, it actually has an impact, a real impact. Well, I wonder if that's true with generosity also. That's not what he says, that's what I say. But here's his words, some suggestions on practicing generosity. He says, leave a big tip when you go out to dinner. Buy fair trade coffee and give it to your neighbors. Buy a struggling young man a new suit or offer to pay for the rent for someone who needs a helping hand. And then thank them. Tell them that you're doing it for yourself and that they are doing you a favor. Then find something that you've been hanging on to a little too tight and just give it to someone. Give away your whatever, porcelain dolls or baseball cards or your favorite shirt. Just let it go. Empty your wallet in the offering plate just for the experience of doing so. Write the biggest check you can ever imagine to some work of the world, of God in the world, some work of God in the world, and watch that there is still food on your table. And don't ask for any recognition for it, because this is helping you, he says. Reorganize your finances so that the first tenth of every bit of income that comes in your door goes to the work of God. I mean, really tithe. Look at it as a whole lot better than the deal that the rich landlord got. End quote. So how is this setting with you? I don't really like these suggestions. I'm kind of stingy, but I'm trying to trust in this gift that's been given to me too. Faith, richness toward God. So we need each other. I need you. Let's stick together, sisters and brothers in Christ. Let's encourage one another and keep practicing generosity together, knowing that God stays with us through it all. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.